digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Someone needs to take the reins of the IRK government. Someone who believes in the same ideals and principles as Omar Hassan and who shares his strength.
If it is the will of my people, I will take my husband's place at the peace conference.
Did you find him, President Della? The man who killed my father?
Samir Maran. Yes. He was badly wounded, but he'll live to stand trial.
I took care of him.
So there is no connection to us. We're in the clear.
Maybe not. There was a woman there who might have recognized me.
What woman?
She may be CTU, I'm not sure, but I've seen her face before.
Once again, Mr. Novakovich, you're giving every indication that Russia has no interest in this peace accord.
I don't understand how you can believe that installing Hassan's widow will alleviate our concerns about the instability of the IRK government.
I have close friends in Moscow.
Do you honestly think your relationships can change their minds?
Let's just say I'm going to be able to exercise some leverage.
Jack thinks that someone inside of CTU is working for the terrorists.
I spoke to Hastings. He cleared me through, Jim.
Stay where you are and keep your hands where I can.
We just entered the parking garage.
Who are you, to lying bitch?
Don't move.
As Jack leaves the bedroom to fetch a drink, Renee is shot.
Renee! You were on the phone with her right before she got shot. What were you talking about?
Samir Mehran was given a lethal injection at the scene of his capture.
Renee thought she recognized one of the EMTs from her days
undercover with the Russian mob.
I gotta get back to you.
I'm sorry she didn't make it.
Jack tearfully leans over and kisses Renee's forehead as she lies dead in the hospital theater.
The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m.
Renee's body lies on the operating table. Jack stands over her, his shirt front covered in her blood. He stands, gazing down at her, his expression utterly bereft. A nurse comes in through the door behind him.
Sir? Sir, I'm so sorry, but we need to move her now.
Jack spins round and stares at the nurse. She drops her gaze apologetically. Jack looks back towards Renee. He finally turns and walks numbly away.
Sir, are you the husband of the deceased?
No.
Well, we need to contact her next of kin. Can you help us with that? Do you know where her parents live? Are they alive?
Jack turns to look blankly at the nurse.
I don't know.
Sir, are you going to be all right?
Jack flicks his eyes to right and left, and then walks slowly out of the operating theater. In the corridor outside, people hurry past him, pushing a trolley. A nurse presents Jack with a pair of boots and a shirt.
I don't know if these will fit. I got them from an intern.
Thank you.
Taking the clothes, Jack walks, still in his bare feet, back down the corridor to a row of chairs. He sits down, wiping his nose on the sleeve of his shirt. He stares back down towards the operating theatre as a group of orderlies wheel out Renee's shrouded body. He leans forward, cradling his face in his hands. He spins round as his phone goes.
Yeah.
Jack, I heard about Renee. I'm so sorry.
What can I do to help?
Tell me who did this. You told me earlier Renee thought she recognized someone at Hassan's crime scene, an EMT.
Let us deal with that. We have everyone here working
on it. Trying to help me, Chloe, not now. Who did she see?
She thought she recognized somebody from the Russian mob, Red Square.
Mazayev's group?
Right.
I want to talk to him.
Like I said, I'm already on it.
He's in custody somewhere, Chloe. I brought him in myself. Where is he?
There's something that you need to know. Division replaced Hastings with me.
That means I'm responsible for what happens to Bazayev. I know you're upset about Renee.
So am I. But Bazayev's our only lead. I need whoever talks to him to be in complete control.
I don't think that's you right now.
I won't interfere with your investigation.
You think you can stick to that?
I give you my word. Chloe, I'm gonna ask you one more time. Where is he?
He's in federal court downtown. He's
being arraigned right now.
Jack folds up his phone. President Taylor signs papers.
Plan was for this chamber to be full by now.
Ethan, what in the world are you doing here? You should be resting.
Doctor said it was my call.
Ethan.
I'm fine. I was thinking, Madam President, our discussion about enlisting Charles Logan.
It's done.
You've contacted him already?
He's on his way to talk to the Russian foreign minister.
That was fast.
The Russians were about to announce that they were pulling out of the talks. I didn't see a lot of options.
So, what's his angle? Madam President, you said he's on his way to talk to Novakovich. How does he intend to get the Russians to stay?
I assume he uncovered something in his business dealings with them.
But you don't know what it is?
Not exactly.
Madam President, he's operating in your name. Shouldn't we find out?
I agreed I wouldn't. Don't ask, don't tell was the price for Logan's cooperation.
Kanan's expression is enough to make Taylor lower her eyes, abashed. Logan walks out onto the terrace of a smart restaurant. Novakovich sits enjoying a meal.
Mikhail!
Mr. President, the Russian people join you in mourning President Hassan. His death was a tragedy for all peace-loving nations.
You can save your platitudes.
You want the truth?
Why not? For a change. Espresso.
I assume President Taylor sent you here to bring my country back to the bargaining table. She is going to be disappointed. President Taylor lured the whole world here with the promise that Hassan had united the IRK, that there would be peace for the first time in decades. Well, now it is clear that was a lie. There was no unity even with Hassan, and now that he is gone,
his widow Dahlia can pick up the mantle.
Not in our estimation. Hassan was undone by his own opposition. How could his widow possibly succeed where he failed?
Because we both know the opposition that undid him had outside help. Nuclear threats, assassination plots against a heavily guarded head of state. This was not some third world malcontents lashing out. This was a highly organized effort orchestrated by a major rival to the United States. A rival convinced that their best interest was to stop the peace process by killing Hassan.
You are insinuating.
Insinuating? No. I'm saying it was people inside your government, first among them you.
That is an outrageous accusation.
It's a fact for which I have proof.
I don't believe you.
Well, that's your right. But I'll tell you this, you don't want to test me. Because what I have, I will share with President Taylor if you and I fail to come to an understanding here. Espresso, sir.
Novakovich leans back, seemingly cornered by Logan's cunning.
At this point, President Taylor knows nothing about any of this. I didn't see what good could come out of inflaming the situation between our countries further. Not without talking to you first.
They share a tiny conspiratorial smile.
And now I have. The president's expecting me at the UN. I need to go.
And what will you tell her?
What I would like to tell her is that Russia is back at the table and her peace process is on track. But if neither of us hears from you before I get there, I'm afraid what I'll have to tell her instead is the unvarnished truth.
Novakovich stares back through narrowed eyes. 9:10 in court.
Sergei Bazayev.
Bazayev, Your Honor. We'd like to waive reading.
Sure you would, given the charges here. I can tell you right now I'm going to deny bail.
Judge Ruffin, Sergei Bazayev is a businessman with deep ties to this community.
He's a foreign national.
That's true, Your Honor, but he has lived in this country continuously since 1985. His entire family lives here. In fact, several members of his family are represented in court today. His wife, daughter-in-law, grandson, for whom, incidentally, he is the sole means of support.
According to the charges, he's their sole support because he killed the boy's father. Not to mention the other counts. Trafficking in nuclear materials, assassination, conspiracy. Like I said, I'm going to deny bail. I'm remanding him to Marion immediately.
Bazayev, who has spotted Jack's arrival, whispers to his lawyer.
Your Honor, may I have 5 minutes with my client, please?
Fine, you have 5 minutes. Court will recess for 30 minutes.
Clear the courtroom, please.
Bazayev turns to look at Jack. As the others file out of the court, Jack remains seated, staring at the Russian.
My client would like to have a word with you.
The court is now empty except for a lone security guard. Jack moves forward to sit down next to Bazayev.
If you touch my family, I swear to God.
You're not really sitting in the right chair to be making threats. Who shot Renee Walker?
I don't know that name.
She was a former FBI agent. Approximately 6 years ago, she worked undercover in your organization. Earlier today, she recognized one of your men as Red Square.
There is no Red Square. Not anymore.
Let me explain myself. This agent, Renee Walker, I considered her to be my family. So take a long, hard look into my eyes. And realize that I will have no problem taking out each member of yours before they even get home today, unless I get the information I want.
Whoever killed her had nothing to do with me.
Enjoy your time at Marion. I'll tell your wife and your daughter-in-law you said hello.
Wait. Wait.
Jack pauses at the door and turns back. He walks back across to Bazayev.
If I tell you, they'll kill my family anyway.
We'll provide them with witness protection, and I give you my word.
Bazayev glances towards the guard and then back at Jack.
Moscow. The Russian government. They're behind it, not me. Everything that happened today, all of it, was them.
Who inside the government?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You're talking about 100,000 people. I need names.
I don't know names. They never let me get close. The woman working with them arranged everything.
What woman?
The one they planted at CTU. Dana Walsh.
Sir, let's go.
Promised. Promised.
Jack stands amazed. 9:14, end of part one. Part two, 9:18, Logan is driven in his car with Pillar.
Nerve-wracking, isn't it? Waiting. I only saw Novakovich's face, sir, but you definitely had his attention. Mr. President.
Charles Logan.
Charles?
Yes, Madam President.
I just got off the phone with the Russian foreign minister.
You did. And what did he say?
He said that the two of you had a very interesting discussion. and that he would be coming to the United Nations in 5 hours with the Russian premier to sign the treaty as scheduled. He also said the credit for that is all yours.
He was in the mood to be convinced, Madam President.
Mr. President, Ethan Kanan here.
So you're back on your feet.
Yes, and I'm curious. What did you say to the Russian minister to convince him to come back to the peace talks?
I told him that peace is in all of our interests.
Seriously, I'd like to know how you did it.
Madam President, those details are for me alone. That was our agreement. Am I right?
Yes, you are.
So, Ethan, let's not do anything to sully our victory. And it is a victory for all of us. It's a good feeling, isn't it?
What?
Being of service to your country.
Yes, it is.
I'll see you at the UN shortly.
Kanan turns away. Chloe examines pictures of Bazaev.
O'Brien.
Hey, it's me.
Bazaev's family just left the courthouse. They're gonna need witness protection. I want you to pick him up and bring him in.
What did he say?
He said the people who were behind Renee's murder weren't Russian mob. Said there were people inside the Russian government. He claims that Moscow is behind everything that happened today.
I thought the IRK opposition was trying to stop Hassan.
No, he said the Russians were just using them. He didn't have time to explain why they don't want the peace accord to go through, but he did say something important. He said Moscow's main contact on the ground was Dana Walsh.
Dana? You believe that?
Well, that would explain how she managed to breach CTU. Anyways, I'm on my way in. I want to talk to her.
I'll set it up.
Thanks.
Jack jumps into a cab. Chloe walks purposefully onto the CTU ops floor, 921.
Cole, I need your help. Jack's on his way here to interview Dana.
Dana? What about?
According to Jack, she's some kind of agent with the Russian government. He says they're behind everything that happened today, including Renee's murder. Listen, if Dana knows who killed Renee or Jack thinks she's in any way responsible, there's no telling what he might do. Jack respects you. You might be the only one who can deal with things if he gets out of hand. I know this is difficult for you, but during the questioning...
Yeah, I'll be there.
Thanks.
Arlo looks up with interest as Cole walks away. Logan's dark limo purls up the ramp at the UN building.
It's good to be back in the game. Even if it is through the rear entrance. President Taylor's worried about her image. Oh, believe me, I have all people understand that.
She can't keep you hidden away forever, sir.
That's right. Credit given where credit is due. Publicly. That's our deal.
Yep.
Logan gets out of the car and smiles ingratiatingly at a Secret Service man who glares back stonily.
No, believe me. The president will be grateful to know. Okay.
Who is that agent? I want him reassigned.
Sir, that was one of my contacts at Justice.
You hear me?
Yes, I'll take care of it. But we have a more immediate problem. Jack Bauer.
Bauer!
Logan gestures peremptorily to the security detail to give him space.
What has he got to do with any of this?
He was just downtown at the federal courthouse, the arraignment of a Sergei Bazaev. Bauer got to him behind closed doors and got him to talk.
How much does this Bazaev know?
He knows about Dan Walsh, the mole the Russians planted at CTU.
I know who she is.
Bauer's headed to CTU, presumably to talk to her. Now, sir, my sources tell me Walsh hasn't given up anything about Moscow's involvement. Not yet. But she knows enough to bring everything down. If she gets in a room with Bauer...
Obviously, that can't happen. We need to stop Bauer before he talks to her.
That won't be easy. He may have a personal stake in this. Apparently, he was asking Bazaev about Renee Walker. She was shot dead in Bauer's apartment less than an hour ago. Sir, this could easily get out of hand. You may need to ask President Taylor to intervene.
What are you suggesting that I tell her the truth? If she finds out what the Russians have done, she'll be furious I kept her out of it. She might back out of her deal,
sir. You really need to stop Bauer now. I don't see any other way. You have to talk to the president.
Logan tentatively fingers the lift button.
Bauer. Torpedoed my presidency. Tried to ruin me. Almost did.
There's no way I'm going to let that happen again.
9:24. At CTU, Chloe meets Jack.
Thank you.
Animal's ready.
Yes, I'll take you to her. So sorry about Renee. I don't even know what to say.
They don't know I'm going to be interrogating her.
No, I didn't want to give her a heads up.
Good.
Staff look on ominously as Chloe leads Jack through to interrogation. Cole stands waiting. Jack barely looks at him, so intent is he on Dana.
Jack, sorry about Renee.
I have to leave the cameras on, Jack.
You think I'm gonna kill her?
Wouldn't blame you if you did.
If I wanted her dead, Chloe, she'd be dead. I'm just gonna wake her up to the idea of it. Open the door.
Jack walks calmly through. The doors slide open to admit him into the circular chamber where Dana sits at a table.
What do you want?
I want to know who killed Renee Walker.
Renee's dead?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It must have been a mistake.
No mistake.
I'm sorry, Jack. Really?
You're sorry.
Jack moves closer, threateningly.
You're sorry. I want to know who the shooter was. I want to know who ordered it. I want names. Now!
Stop him.
Let him play, Chloe.
You hit me again, you get nothing.
You think you get to make demands here?
I can give you the hitter. The man behind him, all the way up to the top.
I want more than just names. I want proof!
I have proof. An audio file. Film.
Where?
First, I want my immunity deal back. As soon as I start talking, I'm dead. Your move.
Jack casts a look across at the camera, relaying events to Chloe and Cole. He leans close to Dana's bruised face and speaks in her ear.
If you lie to me, I'll find you no matter where you try and hide. You understand that? God.
Dana's expression is unreadable as Jack walks away. 9:27, end of part two. Part three, 9:31.
We've had such little good news these last few hours, I wanted to tell you right away. The delegates have voted unanimously to accept you as the representative of the IRK at the signing of the treaty.
I'm pleased. Thank you for all your efforts.
You're welcome. There is one proviso, of course.
That my own country accept me as signatory of the treaty.
I know you've had very little time to pursue this.
Jamot and I have been making progress. In the next hour, our Constituent Assembly will vote on the issue. But as we've already received pledges of loyalty from most of my husband's coalition, I believe we have a good chance of success.
Excellent. Doya, we might just make it yet.
We might.
Madam President, Mrs. Hassan, I need a word.
Excuse me.
Logan wants to speak with you.
About what?
He wouldn't say, except that it's urgent. He's waiting in your office.
Following President Hassan's death, the expectation was that the delegates to the peace conference would have to pack up and go home. But the latest rumors coming out of the UN are pretty sensational, that Dalia Hassan might be stepping into her husband's shoes. In fact, there are already street demonstrations taking place in Khamistan in support of Dalia Hassan's candidacy.
Mr. Logan, the president is here.
Logan hurriedly mutes the TV and readies himself for the president's arrival.
Thank you for seeing me, Madam President.
Ethan said you wanted to speak with me.
Can we have the room, please?
members of Taylor's staff bundle up their papers and move out of the office.
What's this about, Charles?
Jack Bauer, he's out of control. He's already pressured a Russian mafioso in federal court, and now he's on his way to question a woman in custody at CTU, Dana Walsh.
Why does he want to talk to her?
He thinks she knows who's behind the shooting of Renee Walker.
Agent Walker? She's dead.
Logan simply stares back at Taylor, who finally closes her eyes and sweeps her head sideways in anguish.
How did this happen?
That's still being investigated, but in the meantime, what I'm saying is Bauer needs to be stopped.
Why?
You're going to have to trust me. What we need to do right now is lock Bauer down.
You better tell me exactly what's going on.
Oh, Madam President,
I'm... No, I won't do a thing about Jack Bauer until you tell me the truth.
Logan stares, then his snaky eyes shift. He opens his mouth, searching for words.
Elements inside the Russian government were behind both the assassination of President Hassan and the supply of nuclear material to his enemies.
The Russian government?
Why do you think they're back at the table? Because I threatened to expose their role in today's events.
You knew about this and you didn't tell anyone?
I was trying to protect the president.
Protect her? You've compromised her hopelessly.
Why didn't you say anything before?
I told you that I had leverage with the Russians. You must have understood it was significant.
Significant, yes. Evidence of a sex scandal, some kind of financial malfeasance. Not this, for God's sake. If I find that you're in a position to prevent anything...
Absolutely not. This information came to me only very recently.
From whom?
I can't tell you.
You will tell me.
I can't, Madam President, because it would do no good. My sources would plausibly deny even knowing me.
The Russian involvement, that's what Jack Bauer is about to bring out into the open?
If he talks to Dana Walsh, yes. The Russians inserted her at CTU months ago. She was their agent. If Bauer gets to her, it'll all come out, and then this. This will all be finished.
It's finished anyways. You think the president wants anything more to do with the Russians after what they've done?
Yes. Yes. You do, Madam President, because you are looking at the bigger picture. The greater good.
How can you call any of this good?
Because it is good, an undeniable good, a peace that's escaped the world for generations. That's what you're on the verge of achieving. Do you really want to throw it all away?
Do you really think Dalia Hassan will sit down at the table with the people who murdered her husband?
Who says she has to know?
Taylor stares at Logan.
Believe me, I know how hard you worked for this, how you sweated and prayed the sleepless nights. I know the power to make a difference. That's why we came into politics. How few of us get to achieve it. But you have. You so nearly have. Ethan will tell you to make a stand. I applaud his moral clarity, but then he's on the sidelines. He can afford it.
That's enough.
Is the situation ideal? No, far from it. But you have a real chance to make the world a better place.
Taylor seems halfway to being swayed.
Don't listen to this, Allison. If the treaty's not signed today, it's not the end. You can build a better peace with honest partners.
There is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune.
What the hell does that mean?
The president knows.
That's from Julius Caesar. It means now or never.
Madam President, I have Jack Bauer for you.
Where is he?
He's at CTU. He wants to talk to you about an immunity agreement for Dana Walsh.
I'll have to call him back.
Madam President, there is no choice here.
But there is a choice, Ethan. And unfortunately, only I can make it. I'm going to see to you.
To do what?
To see Jack Bauer.
Kanan and Logan watch as she walks away. 9:39. At 9:43, President Taylor rides in a limo. Jack waits tensely outside the interrogation room. Chloe walks in.
Did the president call back yet?
Not yet. Jack, are you sure you want to do this to yourself? We can take it from here. The minute Dana's immunity deal is back in place, we can roll up the names, close this out.
We need to see this through.
Excuse me, the president's on the phone. Line 3. She asked for Chloe.
Jack, who has automatically reached for the phone, now hands it on to Chloe, who takes it with embarrassment.
Madam President.
Ms. O'Brien, I'm on my way to see you.
You're coming to CTU?
Yes, I'm almost there. I need to talk to Jack Bauer. Make sure he doesn't leave.
Yes, ma'am. Let security know the president will be here any minute.
She's coming here?
That's what I just said. Have them standing by.
Why is she doing this?
She said she wants to talk to you.
Why didn't she just talk to me on the phone?
I don't know. You should probably meet her in Hastings' office.
Jack looks at the screen from which Dana gazes icily.
What?
Chloe, seeming very vexed, heads towards the tunnel entrance. 9:44. As she approaches the door, an outrider arrives just ahead of the presidential limousine. Chloe goes to meet Taylor as she gets out.
Madam President, welcome to CTU. I'm Chloe O'Brien.
Thank you, Ms. O'Brien. Is Jack inside?
Yes, ma'am. Right this way.
They walk side by side through the corridor. They emerge onto the ops floor. The staff have all stood up.
I want to say how grateful I am for all your efforts today. We've taken some pretty hard hits, but we've managed to keep ourselves in the game. The peace process is still alive, and I am counting on your hard work and your vigilance to keep it that way. I know you won't let me down.
Taylor looks up and flinches ever so slightly at the sight of Jack staring down at her stony-faced from the glass-walled first-floor office. She turns to Chloe, who leads her away.
Thank you, Ms. O'Brien. I'll go up alone.
Chloe watches as Taylor heads away up the stairs with her two security men. Jack stands somewhat constrained in the office. Taylor enters.
Hello, Jack.
Madam President.
I am so sorry about Agent Walker. I gather she meant a lot to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Which makes what I'm about to ask so very, very hard. Please, Jack.
9:46. They sit down at either end of a leather sofa.
I need you to stand down.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
I do not want you to question Dana Walsh.
Madam President, the information that I can extract from Dana Walsh is not limited to the murder of Renee Walker. I believe she knows the names of the people who facilitated the assassination of President Hassan, people working within the Russian government.
That is pure speculation.
Then grant her immunity. Let me question her. If she's lying, you lose nothing.
I'm sorry. I won't give Dana Walsh immunity. I can't. The peace process is back on track. Dalia Hassan will represent her country at the signing. The Russians have accepted her and have undertaken to support the treaty.
Madam President, the Russians have been trying to destroy the treaty. You can't trust them.
You don't know that.
The information that I have came from Sergei Bezaev, and I believe him. If you let me question Dana Walsh, I can prove it to you.
No. I won't allow it.
Jack looks at her in disbelief. He stands up.
You don't want to know the truth.
What I want is to keep the Russians at the table. Allegations of this sort will drive them away.
What if the allegations are true?
If I keep the Russians at the table, I can bring peace to a part of the world that has known nothing but war for generations. That is the greater good that I am working toward. And to achieve it, there have to be sacrifices.
With all due respect, Madam President, these people gave nuclear weapons to terrorists who were willing to obliterate half of Manhattan.
You don't know that. And I'm telling you, we have to move on. Even Hassan's widow has picked up the torch and is continuing the peace process.
Does she know the Russians helped murder her husband? Do you think she'd be willing to sign that treaty if she knew that? Have you even told her?
That's enough.
Have you told
her? I said that's enough!
Jack looks down at her from the moral high ground.
This peace treaty is in the interests of the United States and of the world. That makes it a good in itself, and certainly more important than your desire for revenge.
Madam President, I don't want revenge. I want justice.
And I want peace. If there were another way, I would take it, but there's not. That's my decision. Do you understand? Do you understand, Jack?
Yes, ma'am.
Taylor seems close to tears.
I've arranged a helicopter to fly you from CTU to McGuire Air Force Base.
You're locking me down.
You'll be debriefed there. Goodbye, Jack. I'm sorry.
Taylor steps aside as Jack, still stunned by this turn of events, walks towards the door. He turns back to Taylor, but seeing her looking away, humbly drops his gaze and leaves. Taylor turns. Jack comes down the stairs. Chloe approaches, carrying a cardboard box.
Have them gather your things.
Thanks.
What happened up there?
Nothing.
What do you mean?
I mean nothing. Nothing happened.
Jack walks away and stands stoically in the lift under guard. Chloe looks across uncomprehendingly. 9:50, end of part 3. Part 4, 9:54, Taylor speaks on the phone.
What I need is a meeting with Dalia Hassan to coordinate our response to the likely questions. Will you set that up? Thank you. I'm leaving CTU now. I'll be with you in 10 minutes.
They said you wanted to see me?
Yes. Dana Walsh is to remain locked down until further notice. No one gets access to her without my express permission. Is that clear?
I guess. What about Jack?
Jack is going to McGuire Air Force Base to be debriefed.
He didn't seem very happy about that.
He was disappointed that I wouldn't grant Dana Walsh immunity in exchange for her testimony.
But Dana knows who's responsible for everything that's happened today.
She is a sociopath. She'll say anything. And the last thing we need right now is a bunch of unfounded allegations derailing the peace that we've all worked so hard for. Do you understand, Chloe?
Chloe nods.
We're having a press conference at the UN in 2 hours to present Dalia Hassan as the new leader of the IRK and to announce that the peace talks are still on track. What we need CTU to do is to make sure security is airtight.
Yes, ma'am.
President Taylor heads to the door, leaving Chloe far from happy. Taylor turns back to her.
Tim Woods speaks very highly of you. When the situation got out of control, he was quite adamant that you were the one to take over.
I'm surprised he even knows who I am.
It was a pleasure to meet you finally, Chloe.
Thank you.
Taylor gives Chloe a long look before finally turning and heading back down the stairs. Chloe heaves a disgruntled sigh and goes off through the other door. 9:56, she intercepts Ortiz coming up the back stairway.
Cole, we're going to be back on UN detail.
What's happening with Dana?
As of now, nothing.
What about the immunity agreement?
There isn't going to be one.
Why not?
The president says that Dana's a lying sociopath who will wreck the peace treaty.
What's Jack say about that?
I don't know. He's being choppered to McGuire for debriefing.
Chloe, what the hell's going on?
There's going to be a press conference soon, and the president needs us to guarantee security. You'll need to get your teams ready.
Okay.
Taylor emerges into the tunnel where her limo has been turned round. She climbs in and the outriders move out. The limo drives off, followed by a large SUV. Chloe joins Arlo.
So Jack's being taken away for a debrief about what, may I ask?
No.
Director O'Brien, this is Falcon 1. Touching down at CTU.
Copy that. Security personnel en route to the roof with Jack Bauer now.
Roger that.
A small helicopter touches down on the roof of the underground unit. Two security men undo Dana from her chair. Logan walks into an office, evidently relishing being back near the wheels of power. Dana is led away. Jack emerges from the rooftop entrance.
Mr. Bauer, Agent Winnick. The White House has instructed me to escort you to McGuire Air Force Base for a debrief.
Barely glancing at Winnick, Jack walks steadily on towards the helicopter. Winnick seems keen for a conversation.
Heard a lot about you, sir. I'm sorry we had to meet under these circumstances.
No reason to be sorry.
Chloe watches Jack's progress on screen. Jack grabs Winnick's pistol.
Taking this helicopter. Tell your men to drop their weapons or you're gonna die. Do it!
Chloe, continuing to watch, twigs that something is not right.
Arlo, pull up the audio. Something's happening.
Coming up.
Put your weapons down now! I will kill them!
All security of the helipad. Security of the helipad now.
What the hell is going on?
He's gonna steal that helicopter. We have a hostage situation.
Helicopter now!
Jack has climbed into the cockpit of the hijacked helicopter. Chloe arrives at a run.
Hold your fire! Lower your weapon! Milwaukee! Jack!
Please, land the chopper now!
Jack, you know I have to call this in. The Air Force forced you down. This is a bad idea. Land the chopper now!
She turns to Winnick.
Call the FAA, the Air Force. Tell them we have a stolen helicopter flying west over Manhattan that needs to be intercepted and forced down.
Yes, ma'am.
Chloe watches as Jack flies away. 10 a.m. The end.